Well, today we continue in the Gospel of Mark, and we move to the end of chapter 14. And one thing I hope you've realised during the last few months is that the Gospel of Mark is very good at showing us who Jesus is. And these last verses from chapter 14 definitely do that. And they tell us two key things about Jesus. That in this darkest hour, he is truthful in the midst of falsehood. And he is faithful in the midst of faithlessness. So let's dive into his word. And first, the first section from verses 53 to 65. Where we encounter a court. You see, Jesus Christ had been just arrested a few hours earlier, and he was taken to the high priest's house. His disciples had run off into the four winds, and Peter himself followed Jesus, but only from a distance. What the high priest had in mind was to have a court. He brought together the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, and decided to put Jesus on trial. Now, if that's the case, and this is a court, well, that court should be based on truth. That's what courts of justice are all about. The aim is to look through the facts, find the truth, and then make the appropriate judgment and even sentence. But of course, what we realise is that is not what this court is about. Just look at verse 55. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yes, the high priest had no other intention than to have Jesus killed. This was a kangaroo court. They intended to jump over all the niceties of justice, put aside the truth, and just make sure that Jesus died. And how were they prepared to do that? Well, verses 56 and 57 tell us. They were going to get false witnesses in. They were going to put aside the truth, and lies were to be told. This wasn't a real court at all. Indeed, they were going to not just tell lies, they were going to distort the reality of what Jesus had said. Look at verse 48. Here, some of those who were witnessing joined together and said, verse 58, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" Now, can you see the implications of what they're saying here? They're saying that Jesus is in fact an insurgent, a dangerous terrorist. He just wants to come in and destroy the temple building in Jerusalem. And what's more than that, he's making fanciful claims that he can rebuild it all without any physical contact, without his hands. He must be nuts. He must be a madman. They're saying, look, we cannot have this man doing these things and saying these things. We must sort this out. We must kill him. But of course, that isn't what Jesus was saying at all. We know that because we have a record of what actually Jesus said. It's in John chapter 2, in verse 19. Just to quote it, Jesus was just replying to the Jews in the temple who were challenging him. And he answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus wasn't saying that he was going to do anything but raise something up, a temple. And what John makes clear in verse 21 is that that temple was his body. If we understand that, we understand what Jesus really said. What he was saying is that if those temple Jews were going to destroy him and his body, they were going to kill him, well then he will be raised again in 3 days. That's what he was saying. He was prophesying the resurrection. And yet, these very same Jews, the priests, had twisted it and distorted it into something that was really lies. And that is what Jesus was facing, an atmosphere of falsehood, of deceit, of lies. So how was Jesus going to cope with that? How was he going to respond to that? Well, firstly, he didn't respond at all, of course. You'll notice the high priest challenged him. What are you going to say about these things that have been testified? And he didn't answer. And of course he didn't answer. They were all lies. They were all deceit. They were all fictions. Why should he answer them? But then in verse 61, the priest asks a really powerful question. If are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? See, that's a big question, and it's a loaded question. Because if Jesus says he is the Christ, then the priest has what he wants. He'll be able to say that Jesus is blaspheming. How can he be the Christ? All around him will agree with him. And then when he goes to the Romans to explain what has happened, he can say to them, look, he thinks he's the Christ. He thinks he's the one who's going to save God's people, the king. He's a danger to the Romans. He's a danger to Caesar. You've got to kill him. And so if he says yes to this, Jesus is ensuring he goes to the cross. So what does Jesus do? Well, he tells the truth. Verse 62. I am, he says. I am the Christ. He tells the truth. And you can feel the exultation in the high priest as he tears his garments, as he says, blasphemy. And Jesus is spat at and hit and goes off to his death on the cross. Jesus, amidst all that falsehood, all that deceit, has been faithful and said, I am. Truthful amidst all the falsehood. But it's more than that. Just think of what Jesus has done, what the situation was. You see, the high priest and his colleagues had a plan. They were going to kill Jesus, and that was their plan. They were going to achieve it. But as you can see from this text, they were failing. Verse 56 and verse 60 tell us their testimonies did not agree. As with all lies and deceit, it just didn't work. It just didn't come together. They couldn't put a proper case against Jesus. They were failing. If Jesus had said nothing, then they wouldn't have been able to go to the Romans to have him killed. The Romans would have just laughed at them. Their proof just didn't hold together. You see, the thing was, it wasn't a mankind's plan that was going to bring Jesus to the cross. It wasn't these priests' plan that was going to bring him to the cross. It was God's salvation plan that was going to bring Jesus to the cross. If Jesus had said nothing, their plans would have failed. But Jesus knew it was God's salvation plan that needed to be done. And so he said, "I am." And they took him to the cross. It wasn't just that he was truthful in the face of falsehood. He was also amazingly faithful to his Father in pursuing the salvation plan. Now, juxtapose that with what was happening at the same time in the courtyard of the high priest's house. There, in verses 66 to 72, we find Peter. And Peter is warming himself, presumably against a fire, in that courtyard. And in walks the servant girl of the high priest. Now, she recognises Peter and points at him and says, "You're the one who was with that Nazarene. You are a follower of Jesus." And what does Peter do? He faithlessly denies it. "I don't know him at all. I don't know what you're talking about," he says. But the servant girl is undeterred. She goes to passers-by and she says, "You know, he's one of them. He's a follower of Jesus." And again, Peter faithlessly denies it. And even these passers-by realize there's something true about this, and they turn to Peter and say, "No, you're a Galilean. You were with him." And faithlessly, Peter denies it again, even drawing a curse down upon himself. And then the cock crows, and Peter realizes that he has been faithless to his Saviour. And he cries. Peter, who Jesus had called the rock, who has stood at Caesarea Philippi and said, "You are the Christ," had denied Jesus again and again. While Jesus was being faithful to God's plan, he was being faithless to Jesus. How amazing it is. Jesus was truthful in the face of falsehood, and he was faithful in the face of faithlessness. But why is this so comforting? Why should it be comforting? Well, the reason is that we're like Peter, aren't we? Many times, we are like Peter and we just say the wrong things. We twist the truth. We say false things for ourselves. And we fail and we're weak. But at the same time, we know that despite all of that falsehood, Jesus, our Saviour, remains the same. He is there for us. He is truth. Is the truth that we can stand on. And yes, at times when times are difficult, we can forget Jesus. We can dismiss him from our lives. We can even deny him, like Peter did. But if we turn back to him, he is always faithful to us. We in our weakness may be false and unfaithful, but we can always turn back to a Saviour who is always truthful and faithful to us. And that's what he was to Peter. Yes, Peter had let him down. But as we read in John 21, Jesus forgave him, and took him in again. After Jesus had died and was resurrected, in John 21 we see a scene where Jesus comes up to Peter and three times asks him if he loves him. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? You know I do, Lord. Three times, for the three times that Peter denied him. You see, Jesus doesn't just see our actions. More important to him is what is in our hearts. And what was in Peter's heart was love. And so Jesus, at the same time, commissioned him, told him, feed my sheep, look after my lambs. He used Peter, embraced Peter into his life again. And Peter was to lead God's church and die for Jesus at his own crucifixion. See, that is the truth. Jesus is always the truth we can stand on. And he is always faithful to us when we need him, if we turn to him. What a saviour. What a Lord. Let us, in this difficult time, remember that whatever happens, we have a saviour who is there for us in truth and faithfulness through it all. Amen.